This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Monday, August 20th, 2018. Coming up this hour,
global stocks gain as we begin a new trading week.
The lira weakens as Turkey's standoff with the U.S. continues.
A big name in fixed income warns about a record buildup in Treasury shorts.
And the world's biggest shipping company says trade tensions could hit the U.S. economy hardest.
President Trump's ex-lawyer Michael Cohen is reportedly being investigated for bank fraud for millions. Plus, why Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani says the truth is not the truth. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Ahead in sports, the Yankees sweep Toronto, but it was costly, while the Mets won big at the Little League Classic.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global stocks are gaining as we begin a new trading week. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 6 points this morning. Dow futures up 71. NASDAQ futures up 26. The DAX in Germany is up 1.1%. CAC in Paris up 0.7%. FTSE 100 up 0.5%. Nikkei 225 in Japan was down 0.3%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong gained 1.4%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32, yield 2.85%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.60%. NYMEX crude oil, little change, down 3 cents to $65.88 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.9% or $10.70 to $11.94.90 an ounce. The euro, $1.1409, the yen, 110.65, and the Turkish lira at 6.0844. Bob.
And Karen, we begin with the latest on Turkey. Qatar has agreed to help the Turkish economy with a credit line to backstop its financial system. At the same time, Turkey is effectively hiking interest rates without action from the central bank. Bloomberg's Enda Curran explains.
What they're doing is forcing the banks to go via this overnight rate, which is at a higher charge, effectively puts on 150 basis points on the cost of money. It's all part of a push by the policymakers to try and put some support under the lira, which has taken such a hammering. So it's kind of policymakers doing what they can with the hand that they're given.
President Erdogan doesn't want the central bank to formally raise rates because he believes higher interest rates fuel inflation. Turkish markets are closed for most of the week, which may mean low trading volumes and sharper currency swings than usual.
Central bankers gather later this week at the Kansas City Fed's annual Economic Policy Symposium in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Bloomberg's Chris Condon reports.
The most likely newsmaker will be Fed Chair Jay Powell, who speaks on Friday. He'll be talking about monetary policy and the economy. Investors and other Fed watchers are very surely going to be looking for some guidance on where the Fed is headed with interest rates and its policy on the balance sheet. Other central bankers from around the world are sure to be there. They could also be making news in speeches or in sideline interviews. And last but not least, the official topic of the conference will be whether the size of big superstar firms like Amazon, Google, and Apple are beginning to hurt consumers and workers and the economy overall. In Washington, I'm Chris Condon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Chris. A big name in fixed income is warning about a record buildup in Treasury shorts. Bloomberg's John Tucker, live now with details. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Bob. Jeffrey Gundlach of Double Line Capital warns of a short squeeze as bets against 10- and 30-year Treasuries reach a high. Bearish investors would have to cover their bets if demand for U.S. bonds actually increases. As Gundlach puts it in a tweet, that could cause quite a squeeze. He's not alone. Nader Nami, head of Dynamic Markets at AMP Capital Investors, says it's amazing how far the market's shorting treasuries. Net positions on 10-year treasuries from hedge funds hit the highest level on record, according to the latest data from the CFTC. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. Public hearings begin today to consider proposed U.S. levies on $200 billion of Chinese goods. The public comment period ends August 30th. The Trump administration can then formally announce the tariffs.
And economists are sounding a sour note on those tariffs. A National Association for Business Economic Survey shows 91% of respondents say they're having unfavorable impacts on the U.S. economy.
Meanwhile, the head of the world's biggest shipping company says the escalating trade war will hit the U.S. economy harder than it hurts the rest of the world. A.P. Moller Maersk CEO Søren Skou says it could slow U.S. annual trade growth by as much as 4%.
If the situation escalates and if we get to $200 or $500 billion worth of goods that are impacted between China and U.S., of course it will have impact our business.
A.P. Moller Maersk transports about 20% of the world's seaborne consumer goods, putting CEO Søren Skou in a unique position to gauge the fallout of tariffs on trade flows.
In deal news, PepsiCo has agreed to buy SodaStream International for $3.2 billion. PepsiCo will pay $144 a share in cash for the Israeli at-home soft drink-making company, an 11% premium to Friday's closing price.
The focus on Tesla CEO Elon Musk shows no signs of slowing. Shares of the electric car maker fell 14% last week as questions emerged about the stability of its leader. And a couple of tweets yesterday show Musk has no plans to change anytime soon. Bloomberg's Sue Keenan has more.
Early Sunday morning, Arianna Huffington, she came out and said working 120-hour weeks doesn't leverage your unique qualities, it wastes them. She also said that this was a outrageous and horrific way for him to conduct himself at work. We then saw there was a tweet from Musk saying he had just gotten home at 2:30 in the morning and that it's not an option. He will continue this work style.
And this week, Musk and Tesla's board meet with their separate legal and financial teams amid inquiries from U.S. securities regulators. Shares of Tesla moving lower this morning, down 2% in early trading.
On the earnings front, the parade of U.S. retail results continues this week, and Bloomberg's Jill Schneider has details.
Last week, Walmart posted its best results in a decade. Home Depot had a strong quarter. Earnings from Nordstrom beat estimates, but results from Macy's and JCPenney disappointed. This week, we hear from Kohl's, TJX, Target, The Gap, and home improvement retailer Lowe's. Bloomberg Intelligence says broad consumer confidence will likely support improved second quarter results for apparel retailers. Jill Schneider, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jill, thank you. S&P futures are up 5 points this morning. Dow futures up 69 and NASDAQ futures up about 24. The euro at $1.1410. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. Now 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's get the latest at home and around the world now from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Federal authorities investigating whether President Trump's former personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, committed bank and tax fraud, have their eye on more than $20 million in loans obtained by his taxi businesses. The New York Times reports that's according to people familiar with the matter. Investigators are also reportedly examining whether Cohen violated campaign finance laws. Truth isn't truth. That's from President Trump's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, in discussing why having the president be interviewed by Special Counsel Mueller for the probe into election interference is not a good idea. Giuliani told NBC's Meet the Press two people, like Trump and former FBI Director James Comey, are telling different versions of the same story.
I'm not going to be rushed into having him testify so that he gets trapped into perjury. And when you tell me that, you know, he should testify because he's going to tell the truth and he shouldn't worry, well, that's so silly because it's somebody's version of the truth, not the truth.
NBC's Meet the Press can be heard right here on Bloomberg Radio. Is the U.S. open to privatizing military operations in Afghanistan? White House National Security Advisor John Bolton was asked about the recent reports on ABC's This Week.
There are always a lot of discussions. I find them helpful. I'm always open to new ideas, but I'm not going to comment on what the thinking is. That'll ultimately be the president's decision.
ABC's This Week is also heard on Bloomberg Radio. Afghan officials say government forces have freed 149 people, including women and children, who were abducted by the Taliban just hours earlier in northern Afghanistan. The Taliban ambushed a convoy of buses on a road in the Kunduz province. Shares of Atlantia are trading at a four-year low as Italy will press ahead with revoking the highway contract for the company that operated the ill-fated bridge in Genoa. Bloomberg's Kevin Costello is in Rome.
The operator's parent company, Atlantia, offered about 500 million euros as an initial aid package to those affected by the bridge collapse. Atlantia is controlled by Italy's powerful Benetton family, and the disaster has already hurt their reputation. In Rome, Kevin Costello, Bloomberg, Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Much obliged, sir. It is now 6:09 on Wall Street. That's time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. Good morning, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Bob. The Yankees jumped on the Blue Jays starter, Ryan Barucki, early and often at the stadium.
Barucki deals, swung on, drilled it deep right. It is high, it is far, it is gone. It's a grand slam. It's bye-bye birdie in the right field seats. A grand slam. There he is, the Birdman of New York. He grand slams to right.
Barucki didn't make it out of the first inning. He threw 44 pitches, was tagged for 6 earned runs as New York swept Toronto with a 10-2 win on Sunday. Jay Happ improved to 14-6, allowing a pair of runs in 5 and a third innings. Didi Gregorius, the story, though, he was hospitalized following a collision at first base trying to beat out a single. He may head to the DL with a bruised heel, and he was replaced at shortstop by Gleyber Torres. New York is idle tonight, and they picked up a game on the Red Sox, who were shut out by the Rays. The Mets and Phillies met in baseball's annual Little League Classic from Williamsport, home of the Little League World Series. Mets win 8-2. Have a day, Ahmed Rosario.
And the first pitch. Swing and a drive, well hit to left. Hoskins going back, won't get it. It's in for a base hit. Around third, Plawecki, he'll score. Vargas stops at second as the throw comes into third.
Mets radio, Rosario was 3-for-5, batting leadoff. They welcome the Giants tonight. Derek Holland faces Zach Wheeler, who started his career with San Francisco. A's lost to the Astros, now lead the AL West by a game. Giants were swept in Cincinnati. And WNBA, the Liberty, fell to the Phoenix Mercury 96-85 in the season finale. Their 13th straight loss. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Rob Buscha, thanks very much. Well, the Knicks may be losers, but Madison Square Garden is doing a good job of moving on. With the team failing to make the playoffs for a fifth consecutive season, MSG has turned to concerts and live events for growth. The once sports-centric business now really in favorable returns thanks to $186 million in entertainment revenue for the quarter. That topped all estimates on Wall Street. This is Bloomberg. And the sports update brought to you by Investors Bank. Connect with the experts at Investors Bank. With strong relationships and customized solutions, they work with your business every step of the way. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures and European shares are higher following Asian equities. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 4 points. Dow futures up 54. NASDAQ futures up 20. The DAX in Germany's up 1%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd. Yield 2.85%. Yield on the 2-year 2.60%. NYMEX crude oil, little change at $65.91 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.9% or $10.40 to $11.94.60 an ounce. The euro, $1.1409. The yen, 110.64. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, federal authorities are investigating whether President Trump's former personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, committed bank and tax fraud. According to the New York Times, investigators are also examining whether Cohen violated campaign finance laws. Authorities in India's flood-ravaged tourist hub stepped up relief efforts amid the threat of the outbreak of waterborne diseases. The death toll has climbed to 341 since the monsoon started in June. In baseball, both the Yankees and Mets were winners. The Red Sox, Nationals, Orioles, A's, and Giants all lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 619 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker. Right now, let's get you set up for the day and a week ahead around the world. And helping us do that in New York this morning, Joe Weisenthal, executive editor for Bloomberg's America's News Desk. In London, the European News Director, David Merritt, and Asia editor, Emma O'Brien. She's in Beijing. Joe, let me start with you. All eyes on Jackson Hole, Wyoming, with the deer and the antelope roam, along with central bankers.
This is going to be a really good one. We have, I mean, they're all interesting. Chairman Powell going to speak Friday morning at 8 a.m. on the economy. Given all the questions about trade and tariffs and fiscal policy and whether inflation is breaking out, I think people are really going to be scrutinizing that more than normal. And overall, the conference is about the role of superstar firms in the economy, the role of companies like Amazon and so forth, and what that means. And I think that's an important area of research, so I can't wait.
Yeah,
for
don't forget, this is an academic conference, first and foremost. David Merritt. Don't know if central bankers from Turkey are going to be in Jackson Hole, Wyoming this week. Turkey has signed a swap deal with Qatar before the markets closed for the break. What's the English translation of that headline?
Yes, John. Well, I'm picking it for you. Well, Qatar, you know, last week, you remember, they pledged to stand behind the Turkish economy with about $15 billion investment. This is putting the first kind of concrete steps into that. They're saying that they're opening a credit line. They reckon about $3 billion to backstop the financial system, shore up the lira. You talk about central banks going away. Well, the whole of Turkey is going away this week. From a few hours' time, the markets will be closed there all week long for a big holiday. So we can expect a lot more volatility because you can still trade the lira, but it's going to be very thin. And of course, that means the price swings might be even more. Despite this action from Qatar this morning, the lira down again this morning, 1%, 1.5% or so. It's beyond six per dollar. SocGen, Societe Generale, their analysts forecasting it's going to weaken as far as eight per dollar. So huge swings potentially still to come. And this action from Qatar, not quite enough to stem in investors' nervousness at the moment.
Thank you, David. Emma O'Brien in Beijing. It's the year of the dog in China. It's been a dog of a year for stocks. Is that changing?
Yeah, it looks like China is coming to that realization very, very quickly and is trying to get its stock market out of a hole. We've got the so-called national team said to be propping up the market today. These are state-backed or run investment funds that are called into action whenever the government wants to stabilize or tame the equity market. Stocks here have been sliding as concerns about an already slowing Chinese economy melded with this anxiety over the trade war. And you can't forget that unlike in the US, the market here is also dominated by mum-and-pop investors. So this activity shows Beijing is concerned about the fallout from the sell-off and is willing to act to bring it into hand.
Do you bring a sleeping bag to the office, Joe Weisenthal, because Elon Musk does?
I don't, but I really want to know what Elon is doing at the office all the time because in that New York Times interview the other day and in other reports, he really thinks it's important that he's there a lot. And I'm curious what kind of manufacturing operation needs the CEO of the company to be there almost all the time for it to work.
What's the latest from the tweets and the Tesla saga?
Over the weekend, Arianna Huffington, a big advocate of getting a lot of sleep, wrote an open letter to Elon saying he should, if he really cares about conserving energy, he needs to conserve his own energy. And then he shot back at her that he was at the office till 2:30, which I think was missed the point. And this morning, Tesla shares are down about 2%.
Okay, David Merritt in London next to you. Everybody's getting healthy and green. PepsiCo buying SodaStream. What's up?
That's right, SodaStream. You may remember it's been around for a long time. I remember making rather toxic fizzy drinks in the early 1980s for myself for this, but it's been owned by various companies. More recently, it's been Israeli-based, traded in New York on the NASDAQ. PepsiCo have snapped it up for $144 a share. That's more than double what it was just a year ago. Those shares have been on a real tear. And why? It's because that company is trying to look for ways to tap in on this push for healthier drinks. So SodaStream, so you can make lots of carbonated water for yourselves at home. It's the last big move by Indira Nooyi as well as she steps down. The stock of SodaStream looking to bump at the open in New York about 11%.
Right. Soda for David is a mixer. Emma, let's finally end up with you. China's currency jumps to its strongest in a week. What is the PBOC doing to make that happen?
Yeah, well, like with Chinese stocks, we are seeing a bounce back in the yuan, but it's not entirely market-driven. The central bank here has been ratcheting up the reference rate it issues each day and uses to manage the currency, and that's basically, I guess, forced the currency, which has been weakening on much the same angst as the stock market, to climb. Sure, there's been some optimism out there that the U.S.-China trade talks slated for later this month could lead to some sort of de-escalation, but the central bank very much has a hand in this rebound, which means that the fundamentals haven't pivoted just yet.
And real quick, Joe, let me wrap up with you. Tariff hearings in Washington, will they accomplish anything?
I don't know. Companies really don't like these tariffs. They're very concerned, but it's not clear that big corporations know how to influence this market in the way, in this White House in the way perhaps they're used to. So we'll see.
All right. Joe Weisenthal, executive editor for Bloomberg America's News Desk, and the European news director, David Merritt in London, and our Asia editor, Emma O'Brien, joined us this morning from Beijing. Thanks to everybody. We have S&P futures right now up 4 points. The Dow futures of 54. The NASDAQ E-mini futures right now, 21 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning to you. It is 6:30 on Wall Street. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures, European stocks, and Asian equities are all higher as traders hold on to hopes for an easing of the trade war. The onshore yuan is stronger amid signs China's propping up the currency as it prepares to restart trade negotiations with the U.S.
The Turkish lira is weaker after Qatar agreed to help the Turkish economy weather a currency rout with a credit line to backstop its financial system. And checking the lira now, it is down 1.33%.
Hedge fund short positions on 10-year notes has hit the highest level on record, and Jeffrey Gundlach says that's setting traders up for pain. The Double Line Capital CEO warrants it's raising the risk of a possible short squeeze.
On the economic front this week, the Federal Reserve issues minutes of this month's policy meeting on Wednesday. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
The Fed has tightened twice this year in an effort to prevent inflation from getting out of hand. The question on Wall Street, will we see one or two more rate hikes before the end of the year? Look to the minutes for context. Also on this week's economic calendar, data on the property market, existing home sales and new home sales. Rising interest rates could be putting a damper on demand. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Vinny. Also this week, central bankers gather at the Kansas City Fed's annual economic policy symposium in Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
In deal news, PepsiCo has agreed to buy SodaStream International for $3.2 billion. PepsiCo will pay $144 a share in cash for the Israeli at-home soft drink-making company.
And Tesla's stock is down about 2% in early trading after last week's 14% slump. Tesla's board and CEO Elon Musk meet with their separate legal teams this week amid inquiries from U.S. securities regulators.
And it is now 6:32 on Wall Street. Time for your Volatility Index report. The VIX fell on Friday to close out the week at 1264. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is down again. It is down to 1253. That's this morning's volatility report.
And futures this morning are moving higher. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 4 points now. Dow futures up 53. NASDAQ futures up 21. The DAX in Germany's up 0.9%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd. Yield 2.85%. The yield on the 2-year 2.60%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.33% on 24 cents to $65.67 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.8% or $9.10 to $11.93.30 an ounce. And the euro, $1.1398. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 6:33 on Wall Street. Focus on President Trump's attorneys this morning. The latest from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Federal authorities are looking into more than $20 million in loans obtained by taxi businesses owned by ex-President Trump lawyer Michael Cohen. That's according to the New York Times. Investigators are looking into whether Cohen committed bank and tax fraud. President Trump says White House counsel Don McGahn isn't a rat like the Watergate-era White House attorney who turned on Richard Nixon. Trump sent a series of angry tweets denouncing a New York Times story that says McGahn has been cooperating extensively with a special counsel team investigating Russian election meddling and potential collusion with Trump's Republican campaign. John Dean, White House counsel for the Nixon administration, has responded to President Trump's tweet, calling him a rat.
I'm frankly delighted to be on his enemies list, if I've made it that far.
Trump's lawyer Rudy Giuliani told NBC's Meet the Press they're not concerned about McGahn's testimony.
We have a good sense, obviously, of what Mr. McGahn testified to. I can figure it out from...
How do you say that good sense? Have you debriefed him?
No, but Mr. Dowd has a good sense of it. He talked to them at the time.
So you don't know what Mr. McGahn, you don't know 100% of what he testified to Mr. Mueller?
I think that through John Dowd, we have a pretty good sense of it. And John Dowd yesterday said, I'll use his words rather than mine, that McGahn was a strong witness for the president. So I don't need to know much more about that.
Meanwhile, Giuliani says the truth isn't truth when discussing why having the president be interviewed by Special Counsel Mueller isn't a good idea. Giuliani says an interview wouldn't accomplish much because of the he said, she said nature of witnesses' recollections. NBC's Meet the Press can be heard right here on Bloomberg Radio. A report released by an advocacy group claims that some types of oat products contain unsafe levels of herbicide chemicals. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer is calling on the federal government to release their study, saying people need to know what they're eating.
We all eat cereal. Most of us use milk. Some of us use other things. But no one uses Roundup.
Last week, a jury in San Francisco awarded $289 million in damages to a groundskeeper whose attorney argued that Roundup causes terminal cancer. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 6:35 on Wall Street. That is time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. Good morning, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Bob. It was a costly win for the Yankees as they swept the Blue Jays in the Bronx 10-2. Greg Bird touched them all with the first inning grand slam. New York never looked back, knocking out Ryan Barucki, who only retired two batters. Didi Gregorius, though, was involved in a collision at first base that landed him in the hospital with a bruised heel. He could be headed to the DL. Manager Aaron Boone still trying to stay positive.
Yeah, really, really happy with how we were able to come in with a focus this series, you know, especially falling down four runs in that first inning of the first game. And just I thought we just had a lot of quality at bats up and down our lineup from a lot of different guys, a lot of people contributing.
Gleyber Torres picked up the slack and is expected to see more time at short. Jay Happ earned the win for the Yankees. They picked up a game on the Red Sox as Boston was shut out by Tampa Bay. Mets were involved in a special day, the annual Little League Classic from Williamsport. First, they watched the Little Leaguers play, then routed the Phillies 8-2. The game had sentimental meaning for Todd Frazier, who won the Little League World Series in 98. Michael Conforto, his teammate, played in it in 2004. New York returns to Citi Field to host the Giants and Derek Holland. Mets counter with Zach Wheeler, a former top Giants prospect. And a good sign for third baseman David Wright as he continues his long comeback. In a rehab game, he picked up two base hits. Elsewhere, the Astros beat the A's to regain the AL West by a game, and the Giants were swept in Cincinnati. And WNBA was the season finale for the Liberty, dropping their 13th in a row. They lost 96-85 to the Phoenix Mercury. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thank you, Rob Buschka. It is now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
What happens when the country with the world's largest oil reserves becomes its latest failed state? As Venezuela's government grows increasingly despotic, a crackup is accelerating, and the world remains unprepared for the consequences. Last week, a judge in Delaware ruled that a Canadian mining company could seize the assets of Citgo Petroleum Corp's parent firm, which helps fund the Venezuelan government. The country was already in default on more than $4 billion in bonds. If the judge's ruling stands, the regime's economic house of cards could collapse. Meanwhile, food, medicine, electricity, and even running water are in short supply, and more than 2 million Venezuelans have decamped to neighboring countries or to the U.S. The rest of the world needs to do all it can to help steer Venezuela to a better future and, at the same time, prepare for the economic and humanitarian crisis it may be unable to prevent. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion. Or OPI and Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. House Republicans in tough races are finding there's one issue they can run on, the environment. Nancy Lyons has more from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
Environmental groups see opportunities in 20 swing congressional districts, and some incumbent Republicans are reminding voters they're on the Bipartisan Climate Solutions Caucus.
That's not a caucus in the House that's done a lot. But just being able to claim membership, there are some Republicans who are hoping that could just make the difference.
Bloomberg Environment's Dean Scott says polling finds one key issue has drawn opposition from more than 60% of potential voters.
Oil drilling on public lands issue is something I would expect to really see between now and the election in November.
In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Nancy. It is now 6:39 on Wall Street. That is time for your Bloomberg Green Business Report. When the blades of its 800-kilowatt wind turbine start turning, the small Greek island of Tilos will become the first in the Mediterranean to run exclusively on wind and solar power. The seahorse-shaped Greek island between Rhodes and Kos has a winter population of 400, but that swells to as many as 3,000 people in summer, putting an impossible strain on its dilapidated power supply. This summer, technicians are conducting the final tests on a renewable replacement system that will be fully rolled out later this year. It will allow Tilos to run exclusively on high-tech batteries recharged by a wind turbine and a solar park. The European Commission says Tilos will be the first autonomous renewable green island in the Mediterranean. It plans to use the project as a blueprint for other small islands across the European Union that have limited grid connection to the mainland. And that's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. S&P futures up 5 points. That is 0.2%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's 24/7 news streaming live on Twitter. Check out at TikTok by Bloomberg, the first and only global news network built for Twitter. Follow us at TikTok. That's TICTOC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures moving higher this morning. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are trading higher right now with Dow futures up 60 points. S&P's gained 5.5 and Nasdaq futures climbed by 24. The U.S. 10 yield at 2.86% and Hong Kong rose 1.4% overnight. Well, European markets are also trading higher, led by 1% gains in Germany. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 11 o'clock, Fed's Bostic speaks on the U.S. economic outlook. And regarding earnings this morning, Estee Lauder beat estimates. In deal news, Pepsi to buy SodaStream for $3.2 billion, paying $144 a share in cash. And wrapping things up, the CBOE was upgraded to outperform at Raymond James. Nike was upgraded to overweight at Piper, and Constellation Brands cut to negative over at Susquehanna. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K, and that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, jurors in Virginia go into their third day of deliberations today on the trial of Paul Manafort. The former Trump campaign chairman is facing 18 counts of bank and tax fraud related to work he did before joining the campaign. Unknown attackers fired shots at a security booth outside the U.S. Embassy in Turkey's capital early today, but U.S. officials said no one was hurt. Funeral services are being arranged for former U.N. Secretary General Kofi Annan. The Nobel Peace Prize winner died over the weekend at age 80. In baseball, both the Yankees and Mets were winners. The Red Sox, Nationals, Orioles, A's, and Giants all lost. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, for the first time, the Asian Games will include computer game competitions alongside swimming and track and field. Contestants will battle across such titles as League of Legends. It's a marketing bonanza for video game publishers like Tencent. However, former cycling gold medalist Scott McGrory, well, let's put him in the no column. He says it's like having a competition with the best accountants on the planet.
Hey, don't be dissing accountants now.
Accountants have to eat, too.
They count, too.
Oh, my. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. It is now 6:49 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the start of public hearings today to consider proposed U.S. levies on $200 billion of Chinese goods. A survey from the National Association for Business Economics, meantime, shows 91% of respondents say tariffs are having unfavorable impacts on the U.S. economy. And we entered day three of jury deliberations in the tax and bank fraud trial of Paul Manafort. Let's get more on these and other stories now from Bloomberg Washington correspondent Kathleen Hunter. Kathleen, good morning and welcome. Let's start with those public hearings on tariffs. Is there any appearance that they might be able to head this off?
Well, it seems unlikely that they would be able to. This is really just the latest round of hearings. We're going to hear from, you know, potentially as many as upwards of 300 officials from companies and trade groups, many of whom have a lot of concerns about these tariffs. But so far, the Trump administration really has shown no signs of changing direction.
So we've got, what, 10 days of comment, and then the Trump administration can do what it wants.
Basically, yeah. I mean, this is a chance for companies and other interest groups, other stakeholders to weigh in. But there's no requirement that the Trump administration kind of listen to any of these, any of this feedback that they're going to be getting. And it's going to be a lot of the same kind of feedback that they've already gotten. And it hasn't seemed to sway them thus far.
Okay. And more of it still ahead of those hearings, as we mentioned, economists have weighed in on the effect that those tariffs could have on the U.S. economy. And they seem to be quite down on them.
Absolutely. Overwhelmingly, about 91% of respondents in this new survey that's out today, these are all business economists, are saying that the tariffs and the planned tariffs, the ones that are still coming, are having adverse consequences on the U.S. economy. That's in direct conflict with a lot of what Trump has been touting in terms of these tariffs. And they, you know, see both the short-term and potentially long-term downside for the U.S. economy in this policy approach.
Okay, let's get a Trump legal update here. We're heading into day three of jury deliberations in the trial of Paul Manafort. Did we learn anything from last week's deliberations of where this, what direction this could be headed?
Well, it's a really complex case, and I thought it was interesting that the jury actually came to the judge and asked a series of questions, one of which is the only one the judge was really able to answer, was a question about the real definition, the legal definition of reasonable doubt, which seems to indicate, you know, we don't know exactly what the jury's thinking, but it does seem to indicate that they're having some questions about whether or not the prosecution proved its case and what kind of a standard they would need to establish to determine that the prosecution has, in fact, proved their case. They also had some questions about matching evidence with parts of the indictment, which would indicate to me that they might be having, you know, some trouble kind of parsing all of the various technical elements of this case because it is very highly complex.
And the president hasn't hesitated to weigh in on this trial, even while the deliberations are going on. He's been very positive about Mr. Manafort.
Yeah, it's really interesting because he actually, up until this point, has really sought to distance himself from Paul Manafort, really downplaying the role that the former campaign chairman played in his campaign. And then on Friday, he had a lot of really positive things to say about Paul Manafort, which is really unusual given that the deliberations are still ongoing. And if you think about it from the perspective of if you're a juror, it might have some kind of a bearing on how you think about this case, which a lot of legal experts think is kind of inappropriate.
And it looks like Mr. Manafort isn't the only former associate of President Trump who's landed in legal trouble. We have a report now from the New York Times saying Mr. Trump's former personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, is in even deeper hot water.
Yeah, it sounds like federal investigators, we knew they were looking into Cohen, but it sounds like now we know that they're zeroing in on about $20 million worth of loans that that Mr. Cohen secured for a taxi company that he and his family own and manage. And so I think that that number is really significant, and it shows the specificity of where they're at in terms of their investigation. I also thought it was worth noting that in that story, it raised the possibility that charges could be filed against Mr. Cohen by the end of the month, which is really means either this week or next week. So I think that really shows the sort of imminent nature of where we could get some big news on this front.
How do these loans that are in question here figure into the investigation?
Well, I think there are some parallels. We'll have to find out more if and when there's an indictment, but I think there are some parallels to kind of the ongoing Manafort trial, whether or not Mr. Cohen accurately made accurate representations when he applied for these loans or whether he misrepresented some of his financial assets in terms of these dealings. And I think that's quite similar to what Mr. Manafort is accused of as well in the Virginia trial that the jury's deliberating now.
Bloomberg Washington correspondent Kathleen Hunter, thank you very much. And you can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Karen.
All right, Bob, thank you. It is 6:54 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report, and here's John Tucker.
States have only a few weeks left to address how they'll treat new small business health plans formed under a June Labor Department regulation. Insurance regulators in Vermont and Pennsylvania recently released their plans, and more states could follow before September 1st. That's the first rollout date under the rule. The DOL regulation, which came at the request of President Trump, expanded access to association health plans by changing the definition of employer to include more small businesses like self-employed individuals and gig workers. Those employers can now band together by geography or industry and purchase health insurance as a large group. Many states already have laws on the books for similar group health plans that were popular before the Affordable Care Act changed the health insurance marketplace. But critics point out those similar plans had a history of misuse many states still haven't yet forgotten. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
All right, John, thank you. And some other stories we are following this morning. Estee Lauder reporting fourth quarter adjusted profit that beat analysts' estimates. Sales also beat those earnings out about 15 minutes ago. PepsiCo agreeing to buy SodaStream International for $3.2 billion in the latest attempt by a major soft drink maker to harness demand for at-home drink systems to offset a slowdown in soda. PepsiCo paying $144 a share in cash for the Israeli company. That's an 11% premium to Friday's closing price, and it would be PepsiCo's largest acquisition in 8 years. SodaStream up 10% this morning in early trading. Apple pulling thousands of gambling apps from its Chinese store after the nation's state-run broadcaster accused the smartphone maker of dragging its feet on cleaning up banned content. Government-controlled media, including China Central Television, attacked Apple this month for hosting illegal and fake lottery ticket apps, which they say resulted in massive losses for hoodwinked users. On Sunday, CCTV reported that Apple pulled at least 4,000 apps tagged with the keyword gambling on August 9th alone. We're watching futures this morning. They're moving higher. S&P futures up 4.5 points. Dow futures up 51. NASDAQ futures are up 22. The DAX in Germany up 1%. CAC in Paris up 0.6%. And the FTSE 100 is up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32. The yield 2.85%. The yield on the 2-year 2.60%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.25% or 16 cents to $65.75 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up 0.8% or $9.70 to $11.93.80 an ounce. We continue to watch the Turkish lira down 1.3% against the dollar. It's at 6.0965 per dollar. And Bloomberg Surveillance with Jonathan Farrow and Lisa Abramowitz coming up on Bloomberg Radio. For our listeners in Washington, D.C., Bloomberg Daybreak continues. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.